Hello everyone, Shayna here with another exciting episode of Adventure Options Podcast. This week I decided to do something a little bit different and I interview one of our senior copywriters here at Adventure Writers, and we talk about holidays and how they're the same, how they are different, and what it's like to spend holidays abroad. I thought this would be something fun to do in between the holidays here in place of releasing a regular episode. We will be back after New Year's with regular episodes again, interviewing leaders and movers and shakers in the adventure travel industry. Enjoy. Jake, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are a little bit of a different guest than I normally have on this podcast. You are actually one of the senior copywriters at Adventure Writers.
Yeah, you know, I was waiting when I was waiting for the moment I'd actually get an invitation to this, because I'm a huge fan of the show. And I was hoping that at some point I'd be able to get involved. So it's good to be here.
Well, your Christmas dreams have come true.
Yes.
So don't expect to get a Christmas bonus this year, because this is it.
No, perfect. This is what I asked for. So.
I just thought it would be fun to chat about spending holidays abroad and how they're the same and how they're different and how they just open your mind to what that holiday might be. So I just thought this would be something fun to have here this week during Christmas, New Year's, and just talk about that. Sound good?
Definitely.
So my first experience spending a holiday abroad was, I'm trying to think if it was the end of 2002 or the end of 2001. It was so long ago, I have to really think. But I was living in Ecuador in a little town, Cuenca, which is kind of on the border of Peru and Ecuador. So it's like up in the mountains and beautiful, beautiful. But I got there, I think, on December 27th or 28th. So I didn't spend Christmas there, but I was there in time for the new year. And I was there working in a special needs orphanage. I was going to be there for 6 months, just helping the workers out, because they just don't have enough workers. And so they bring volunteers to help out. And I was living with five or six other girls, and we were in this condo, a super secure condo, behind gates. Like, you had to have pass codes to get into even our condo community. And I don't know if this ever happened to you, but they have glass shards, like,
oh, yeah,
glued to the top of these gates. So even if someone was able to, these gates had to have been like 20 feet high. So even if someone could scale up to the top of these gates, there were like broken bottles of glass glued onto or cemented onto the tops of those so that you couldn't climb over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, for us, it was the broken bottles that were always cemented into the perimeter of the house or whatever.
This was where, when you're talking about?
Uruguay. I'm pretty sure I probably saw that in Argentina as well, but I actually remember one of the houses I lived in Uruguay had one of those, had like the glass shards on the fence.
Hey, it keeps people out. I wouldn't want to climb up and over that.
I would imagine it's pretty effective, actually. Right. They're a 10-foot wall.
Like I said, this was a long time ago, but I have two distinct memories in regards to New Year's Eve there. And the first one was, they have a tradition where they make these like scarecrows or dolls out of like life-size dolls out of people's just clothing. So you get a shirt, almost like a scarecrow, but they're not full of hay. I don't even remember what we stuffed it full of, but you have a balloon for the head and you draw a little face on it. And on New Year's Eve, you light it on fire. And that is how you say goodbye to the last year. Huh?
I said, that's something that I feel like we ought to integrate into our culture here.
You know, I think we should, because it's a really good way to just let go of whatever didn't go right in the year before. Just let it go. And it was...
So it's like supposed to be representative of your past year. You're like saying goodbye to it or something.
Yeah. Huh. It's like the end of the last year, the end of that last year's life. It's kind of a cruel end if you think about it, but you light the thing on fire and you just let go of whatever happened that year and you prepare yourself for a new year. But I do. That was a tradition that I remember participating in. And then the other thing I remember when I was there is there was a group of really drunk young Ecuadorian men who came to our gate. So our condo was one of the condos closest to the gate, like the big mm-hmm. gate that you would have to open to drive a car into. And they drove up to the gate with their guitars and they serenaded us American girls for hours. We were sitting at the window. I mean, we were all young. We were all like 18, 19. I don't think anyone was older than 19. And I was the only one of the whole group who spoke Spanish, who knew Spanish going there. Everyone else was taking classes while they were there, but didn't really speak a lick of it. So they kept asking me to translate for them what these people were saying. And I don't know if you've ever listened to music in another language and then listened to it being sung drunk. But it's pretty much impossible to translate.
I can imagine.
But every once in a while, they would throw out a little bit of English. They'd be like, we love you girls. And then they'd go back to singing their songs. But
yeah,
first and only time I have been serenaded.
Really?
Yes.
That's too bad.
I know.
But that's a good time.
I'm kind of feeling sad about that now that I think about it.
You'll have to go back down to Ecuador, I guess, and find that same house.
Find that same house and see if the tradition lives on, if there's some 40-year-old guys down there serenading the house still.
Could be. You never know.
So what kind of story do you have for me, Jake?
So I was thinking about this because beforehand when you mentioned that this is what you wanted to talk about, I was thinking about my first Christmas abroad, which was in Montevideo in Uruguay. Were you ever in Montevideo? Because I know you were in Uruguay. Were you ever in Montevideo over Christmas or New Year's?
I was in Progreso over Christmas and New Year's, which is like, it's like 40 minutes to an hour north
of
Montevideo.
Like Las Piedras area?
Sort yes. Of? Yes. Gotcha. Like just north of Las Piedras, like maybe a 10-minute bus ride or something like that. So maybe it was farther from Montevideo. Maybe it was like an hour and a half from
Montevideo. Yeah. So I was like in the heart of Montevideo. Like we were in Camino Carrasco, which is the not so nice part of Carrasco, because you've got Carrasco, which is like all the rich people. And then you've got Camino Carrasco, which is
Road to Carrasco. It's the yeah. Haven't quite made it yet.
That's where I was, yeah. And it was by no means like, I mean, there's definitely worse neighborhoods in big cities, you know. But it was a little sketchy. Our neighbor was a drug dealer, and we regularly took the elevator with questionable guests up to different rooms. And but I'll leave it at that. But I remember we lived on the fourth floor of this huge old concrete apartment complex. Me and one other guy were sharing an apartment there. And nobody gave me any warning. Like, people had probably mentioned a few times, they're like, oh yeah, we do fireworks on New Year, on Christmas Eve, right? When the clock strikes midnight, like, we set off our fireworks. Well, I must have just not been paying attention or something, because I didn't notice people buying all that many fireworks or selling like big fireworks. So I imagine like, oh, that's kind of fun, you know, like Christmas Eve, the kids will light their sparklers and they'll run around in the field and stuff. But that is by no means what it's like, because apparently they don't really have any regulations as to the size of fireworks they can have or how many you're allowed to sell or buy.
Or where you're allowed to shoot them off.
Or where you're allowed to shoot them off. Because literally, they time it. Everyone stockpiles their fireworks for the week before Christmas Eve. And then when the clock strikes midnight on Christmas Eve, everyone lights their fireworks at the exact same time. And it is the most, I still think to this day, thinking back on that Christmas Eve, it was one of the most, like, at the risk of sounding cheesy, like, breathtaking things I've ever witnessed. Because we're on the fourth floor of this apartment building hanging out the window. Because my friend that I was living with, he was from Paraguay, where they do kind of a similar thing. So he was waiting for it, kind of telling me like, oh, we're going to go watch the fireworks, you know. At 11:59 p.m., the city just started exploding in like like huge mortars, like big fireworks, you know, and they were loud. And it was, since everyone's just lighting them off their roof or their driveway or the street, it was like everywhere you'd look, 360 degrees around this building, the city was just exploding with fireworks everywhere. I think I have a video of it somewhere.
Oh, man.
I just thought it was like so cool because it was just like the colors and we could see the ocean from our apartment. And so you could see all these fireworks up on the beach and it was just super, super mind blowing and a really fun tradition because it gets your adrenaline just like pumping. And another reason your adrenaline's pumping is because my buddy told me that apparently the people who forgot to go out and buy fireworks, they just walk out in the street, and fire their pistols into the air to add to the noise. So you don't want to hang your head out too far, but it's really fun. It's really, really fun. I wish that, you know, that's one of the aspects of Uruguay that I just love is they, you know, if you've ever been down there during World Cup or Copa America or anything, you'll know that they are a very enthusiastic people when it comes to celebrating things. So it's just a fiesta like you've never seen before. It's tons of fun.
So true. And you're making me feel so sad that I was never in Montevideo for it.
Yeah.
Like, well, I was obviously far enough north because I don't remember it being that big. They did light off fireworks in Progreso for sure, but it definitely wasn't like this overwhelming. In fact, we walked out on the street because I lived in a house when I was there. And so my neighbors were telling me about it. And so I walked out on the street with them to watch, you know, the fireworks go off. And the coolest thing too is, and okay, you're going to have to help me because this is why I brought you Young Gun on here. I cannot remember if they also light off the fireworks for New Year's Eve.
They do. Yes.
Okay. So I can't remember if this was Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve when I was there, because this was back in 2005. Yes. I'm pretty sure it was 2005. And after all the fireworks go off and everyone's, you know, clapping and celebrating stuff, then you go around and you greet your neighbors. And I'm thinking it was New Year's because that makes more sense in my brain that you would go around and like welcome each other into the new year kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was so like neighborly and community. And I just remember it being this very like, we are all just going to be really nice to each other for at least this moment. I loved it.
Yeah. You know what? I was kind of bummed because after Christmas Eve, and I was just like, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. My buddy told me, he's like, oh, we'll just wait because they do the exact same thing on New Year's Eve. But I was planning on moving and I moved out into the middle of nowhere the week between Christmas and New Year's. And I was in some tiny little town. Well, you've been there. It's Rio Branco.
I never actually went there.
Oh, really? Uh-uh. Oh, that's the best place. Yeah, it's a tiny little border
town. Wait, is that the border town that is between like Melo and Brazil?
Yep.
And okay.
Jaguarão.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I have been there for like an hour as I'm crossing over into Brazil.
Yeah, I was there for a good 5 months, I think.
Long time, yeah.
And I moved, but it's like, it's out there.
Yeah.
And it's just really rural and not a whole lot of people. And so I was super sad because
super easy border to cross.
Yeah.
If you ever need to get into Brazil really quick, just go to Uruguay, go up to Rio Branco. Like nobody checked our passports. Nobody. It was literally a bridge. It's just a bridge.
I think it is just like open. I don't think they even check you on that border.
I didn't get checked.
But I think I remember walking into Brazil. But anyway, I was super bummed because New Year's Eve, I'm sitting in my house. I don't know anybody in that town. And I was like waiting for the fireworks and I go out on the porch and I can see like two other houses out in the fields. And then the clock strikes midnight and I just see like one little, and I'm like, oh, that was that it. Was it. That was it. Back in Montevideo, they're like having all my friends are just having a party.
But well, and Rio Branco,
the rural life,
right? Well, and Rio Branco's like what, a 7-hour bus ride from Montevideo?
I think it was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, not quick enough to be like, let's just go to the city for the night.
I had moved there.
That's crazy.
But, yeah.
You know what was cool about that though? Having the fire. Well, one, it's warm. That's like the peak of summer down there, down in Uruguay. And so I was concerned when I moved there. I was like, okay, the things that are going to get me are the holidays. I'm going to feel really homesick during the holidays. Mm-hmm. Like I had prepared myself for that. And then the food. I was going to really miss my American food. And neither one of those were true. And the reason why I didn't get super homesick during the holidays is because it didn't feel like Christmas and New Year's always felt for me. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up in Idaho, it was cold. There was snow. You're not outside greeting each other. It's too cold and dark and windy. And and I don't think a lot of people light off fireworks. If they are, it wasn't ever around where I lived where they were lighting off fireworks. Yeah. But so for that reason, I didn't get homesick. In fact, I felt more like we were celebrating the 4th of July. Like it felt so much like the 4th of July. Everyone was barbecuing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It gave me my 4th of July fix.
It did. Lots of fresh fruit. And yeah, that was the other thing. The food. I loved the food. So I didn't ever.
Yep.
I didn't ever miss it.
I miss that. The asados of like the, you know, they do the pork and the beef and the everything, the lamb. Did you try the, what's it called? Oh man, I'm blanking on the Spanish word, but.
The armadillo?
No, but did you have armadillo? Because I never got to try that.
I did have armadillo. In fact, it was cooked in its shell upside down in a big oven like that. And so when they pull it out, it is still in the shell, like little hairs on the shell still.
Oh man.
It's kind of gross. It actually doesn't taste it. It tastes like a greasy turkey. It's like a white meat turkey, but greasy. I don't know how else to describe it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's illegal, by the way. So I probably shouldn't be endorsing that.
Don't tell anybody who gave it to you. And look at it, arrested by the International Armadillo Police.
Even if I could remember. Oh my goodness. Like I said, it was a long time ago.
I remember having the blood sausage though. Did you ever
I never
that?
Did. Uh-uh.
I think it's called morcillo or something like that. But I was actually surprised at how not bad it was. It was like, and I think it's because I had had morcillo before, cold, it's pretty nasty in my opinion. I don't mean to offend anyone out there who makes wonderful cold blood sausage, but when we were barbecuing and they had like the big wood fire grill going and they were cooking up all the sausages and all the morcillo and everything, it was really good when it was like hot like that.
Nice. Well, no, I'm sad. I didn't partake in that, at least that I can remember. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. So talk to me about holidays in China, because you also had a stint living in China.
Yeah. So I probably lived in China for a total of about 10 months, but on two different occasions, once in 2013 and once in 2017, just last year.
Was that just last year?
Yes, but like the very beginning.
Like 2 years ago, yeah. It feels
like okay. February will be 2 years from when we moved there.
Okay.
So the thing that I'm bummed about with that though is on the first time we moved there in August and came home right before Christmas. And then the second time we got there at the end of February. And so I didn't get to hang out for Chinese New Year on either occasion because Chinese New Year happens in February, early February. So that's kind of a bummer, but I'm sure it's great. But I do remember one of the things that sticks out in my mind very clearly, and I always come back to food, and I feel like that's something that people like talking about is food in different countries, but we would make, it was for Autumn Festival, so that was kind of the big holiday that we were there for the first time we went to China. And it's this huge tradition that we'd make moon pies. Have you ever had a moon pie? Like a real moon pie?
Like, well, I don't know if it's real now that you said real, because I'm thinking like these two cake-like things with like a marshmallow middle. Like
so
that kind of moon pie?
That's okay. Not real.
Then no, I have never had
whatever
a
you thought you ate, it wasn't real. No, like a homemade moon pie is like, it's like a dough. So it's like kind of a cookie dough type thing, but not really like cookie. It's like a cakey type dough. But
but then it's
like the same. Would it be the same dough used for alfajores?
Yes. It's very similar. Very similar. Okay. But they fill it full of what do you call it? Red bean paste.
Ew.
Yeah. And red bean paste. Like, I know we're supposed to be talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas, but I have to share this memory just because this is my biggest memory of holidays in China. And it was kind of the holiday season because I think it was like late October, early November, something like that. But yeah, they invite, like, this family invited my wife and I, who I was not married to at the time. We went and hung out at this house, and they're like, "Oh, well, it's Mid-Autumn Festival, and it's tradition. We have to make moon pies, right?" So we spent the entire day like making the dough from scratch, and then they got out, like, they cooked up all the red bean paste, right?
Is it what I'm thinking? Red beans mashed into paste?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
But it's sweet. It's not like kidney beans, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm picturing kidney
beans. It's a different kind of bean. It's like a soft and sweet bean, but it's still pretty beany. Like imagine like refried beans that you get at like the Mexican restaurant, but it's a little bit more solid. So not like so runny. It's like a little bit more solid and like, it's like the consistency of Play-Doh and it's sweet.
You are making these sound so good.
So you like inject the bean paste into all these pastries, right? And we had to have made like 300 of these things. And it was like this small family, but they were like inviting friends over and they were helping us make them and stuff. And they're like, "Okay, try it. And I was like, "Oh, sure, I'm going to try whatever, you know." I tried it and I was like, "Ah, like this is not bad, you know." It was a little weird because it was like the consistency of like smashed beans with this pastry. But it was sweet. It wasn't like a really unpleasant taste. And so I was like, "Oh, this is great. This is super good, you know." Because I wanted to be like complimentary and like, you know, honor this. This is like a huge tradition for them and they love them over there. And so I wanted to be very, you know, accommodating and everything. So I was like, "Oh yeah, that's great. That's wonderful." They probably sent me home with like all 300 moon pies. Like they had like boxes that they were filling with these moon pies and giving to me and my wife and like one other friend we had with us. And so we take them back and we had them in our apartment probably until the day we went home. Cause we were like, every once in a while when I was super hungry and like craving something that I couldn't have, I was like, "All right, I'm going to try the moon pie again."
See if
we like have them in our fridge. We just had them in our fridge forever.
So wait a minute.
It was super
fun. They eat peanut butter in China? I'm pretty sure they don't.
Now you're making me think about it. Yeah, they do. They sell it at the grocery store.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm. Like Jif and everything. Skippy.
I was just going to say, there are some countries where peanut butter is considered incredibly weird. Like when you introduce it to the people, they're like, "Why are you eating this?"
Well, you're right.
Well, is your? I guess that's true. And so I hope in one of these countries there's two people right this instant doing a podcast trying to explain peanut butter to their podcast listeners.
Yeah, and how
and just describing how it's kind of like Play-Doh, but it's sweet. But you take the
it's a mushy
this seed and you mush it up and you add sugar.
Yeah,
that's because that's what I'm picturing. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, but that poor family, they like totally gave of themselves. And okay, let's go on the food thing. Same thing, me, Uruguay, but with gnocchis.
Okay.
So this was also Christmas Eve. The family that invited me over for Christmas Eve to hang out with them, they knew that I didn't like gnocchis, which are like dumplings. They're like, sometimes you can make them with flour. Sometimes you can make them with potatoes. They're actually very popular in Italy. Mm-hmm. And Uruguay is very Italian, especially in their food. Mm-hmm. But they said, "Well, you don't like gnocchis because you haven't tasted our gnocchis," which is just the double-edged sword because you got to taste the person's gnocchis. You don't want them to feel bad.
Yeah. When they say that, you know you got to pretend to like
them. You know you have to pretend that... You're right. My whole life I hated them. And now that I've tasted yours, they're wonderful, which is exactly what happened. They made them. And I legitimately bet they were the best gnocchis ever for someone who likes
I probably would have loved him.
I know my husband would have loved him. He loves gnocchis. But for some reason, I can't get over the texture of dumplings. I don't like dumplings. I just don't like that texture of like raw boiled dough, which is basically what it is. But you better believe I had a huge bowl of gnocchis for Christmas Eve.
All right.
Very nice.
Yeah. Do you have any other? I just like thinking back on that first time we were in China. That was the time that we were in. We were in China for both Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we came home right before Christmas, but we were there for Thanksgiving. So we were kind of there like the Christmas season leading up. I think we got home like a few days before Christmas. But that was actually a little bit hard because, like you said, in Uruguay, where the seasons are flipped, you don't really get the homesickness of like looking at all the Christmas lights and stuff and, you know, thinking about your family, unwrapping presents, because you're just like sweating to death and eating watermelon. But in China, it's like cold and the weather's turning bad. And in the city we were in, it actually snowed. And so Thanksgiving, when we knew that our families were like at home eating their turkey and mashed potatoes, it was rough, especially because I feel like food in Uruguay is probably a lot more close to our palate here compared to China. In China, it's a learning curve to get to where you like all the food that they're giving you. So I'm trying to remember what we did, but we probably like went to the market in China and bought like a rotisserie chicken and then like 5 bags of Oreos because they were like the most American thing we could find. And then we sat in our apartment like around a space heater and just like ate that rotisserie chicken.
And told each other what you're thankful for.
Exactly.
Watch some football on the internet.
No, you can't because the internet's blocked.
But. No, that's right.
We just imagined it.
That's true. Because I don't remember missing Thanksgiving in Uruguay. And I bet that's what it was. I was in, you know, summer clothes.
In fact,
around sweating to death, like you said, like, I don't remember. I don't even know if the day even occurred to me other than, you know, thinking about my family or communicating with my family about it.
I think I actually even forgot about Thanksgiving my first year in Uruguay. I'm pretty sure the day came and went and I was like, oh, whoa. Like, you know, my family was nice enough not to call me up on Thanksgiving and be like, hey, we're celebrating without you. So they probably just let me be. But then like a few days later, I was like, wait a minute, is it this Thursday? Was it last Thursday? And it was the Thursday before. I didn't even notice that it came.
Here's another fun Christmas Uruguay story. So my mother, my sweet mother, sent me a package for Christmas. And I think she mailed it in October, hoping that it would get there by Christmas.
So it got there in July.
Got there close. I think it was March or April of the following year, and I had totally forgotten about it. And so I get this package randomly in March or April, and I'm like, why? Who sent me a packet? What is this?
Yeah.
Go to open it up, and it is just full of Christmas stuff. There's a little mini Christmas tree. There's like Christmas oven mitts and, you know, Christmas earrings and just everything to make it feel festive because she knew, you know, that I like being around the family at Christmas time and so that I would miss it. But it was the funnest thing to open that up. And I just gifted everything away because I didn't have any need for any of that stuff anymore. And people just thought it was awesome that I was giving them Christmas gifts in April. Yeah. I was like, Merry That's Christmas. Awesome. And they probably just thought, oh, they must celebrate Christmas in April in the U.S.
Yeah. That's
super funny. That was funny. Well, Jake, it has been so fun to talk to you. I just want to wish everybody out there a very happy holidays, regardless of what holiday you and your family celebrate. I hope you have a great one and I hope you have a great end to the year and that there is lots and lots of good on the horizon for you for next year.